of us think forgiveness, and that's it certainly addresses that. But if you look it up or you do any type of Google search, it's labeled as three different terms. It's referred to as the story of the unmerciful servant, the story of the unforgiving servant, and the story of the ungrateful servant. And that's what we're going to focus on this morning. Because if you think about it, it all starts with being thankful and being grateful. If you and I had gotten forgiven that, and I love doing the study on what those numbers equate to today. And every time I've looked it up, I get something a little different. So in the purest sense, the denarii, the way they mention it, so he owed 200,000 years of labor times 100 days. Think about that. And what he was owed was 100 days of a servant's wage. And J. Vernon McGee put this in terms of today. He said it's roughly $12 million he owed down to $17 that he was owed. Think about that for a second. And those of you that may be accountants or type A's, don't get caught on the numbers. Well, no, that doesn't really. Here's the idea. If you and I were forgiven $12 million, frankly, if you forgive me $120 that I owe you, I am running and jumping and celebrating. And I would like to think that I'm going to be even more gracious to the next guy than I've been before. And here is somebody forgiven over the equivalent of $12 million. And his next act is one of anger and vengeance, pride and greed. I believe it starts with being thankful. When we are thankful, when we are grateful to what God has done for us, and we're going to get into specifics, that should then lead us to be a totally different person. That should really change who and what we are and in what we do. When we are truly not grateful to God for all he's done, it affects everything. And my note to myself here was not in a good way. Let me ask you something, and I want you to do this. I want you just to think in your head the four biggest prayer requests you have in your life right now. We've shared prayer requests, and some of those you shared, and others are probably ones personally you just may not want shared publicly. But I bet you can come up with four, bang, 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 and you're probably already on to five and six. Now I want you to think about your last four answered prayers. They don't typically come as fast, right? Our four prayer requests, man, they're here. We've probably already prayed them this morning on the way in. Oh, wait, what's the last four thing? Well, God answered that, but not that. Oh, there was that one. And we're kind of doing that. I mentioned last time a gentleman that was really a mentor of mine. He was the one whose brother had passed away, and then his best friend sat in the corner and was just crying and wailing during the ceremony and during the greeting line, just as a sign of incredible love one to another, two guys that had literally fought gang wars together in Pittsburgh. Another principle that Denny taught me, he said, Matt, he said, why do we pray and pray and pray, sometimes for weeks and months and years for something? Then when God answers, at best we say thank you and we go to the next thing. I'd never heard this. I've never heard anybody teach it since. He said, we should thank God for the answered prayer every bit as long as we asked them for the request in the first place. What a great principle. The college I got into, Moody Bible Institute, should not have let me in for several reasons. My grades and had some very different denominational connections and different things. But it was the only place I applied. It was 100% where I knew I wanted to go, 100% where I believed God wanted me to go, and I got in. Never applied to another school again. Had 4 years that I will forever be grateful for. It's the one thing that I could say that I honestly, I thank God all 4 years while I was there that he had gotten me in. Because I knew that it was God's doing that I got in. It wasn't my own. It wasn't my great essays that were handwritten back in the day before computers. They probably couldn't read what I wrote. They probably said, well, we think he's probably read except the dice, but we're not sure what language this guy speaks. You know, maybe it's a tongues, maybe it's a Greek, who knows, you know. But I can't say that I've done it ever since. And it's just, it's a great reminder. Are we as thankful as we are needy? Because when we are, it changes our total focus on everything. My dad taught me another great principle. He said, I forget what it was I was asking about, and it might have been end times or something. And I said, Dad, I said, why are some things in the Bible just not super clear? And my wife right now is on this, with the world events in the last few years, is on this great kind of end times kick, and she is just studying it and researching it like crazy. And I always joke, it's just not fair. In the family, she got the looks and the brains. She's comprehending stuff about end time scripture and things that she tries to explain them to me, and I kind of gloss over and smile and nod and go, I'm glad I got you, babe. And when it all comes, we'll know that it's there, and we'll respond hopefully accordingly. But there are things in the Bible, and my dad pointed out, he says, when God really wants us to know something, he's really clear. Okay, you don't have to know the Bible very well to know what the Bible says about giving, to know what the Bible says about adultery, to know what the Bible says about forgiving, right? It's pretty clear, it's pretty obvious. Well, the idea of being grateful and thankful was mentioned 150 times. But I think even more impressive or more directive to us, 44 times in the Bible, it specifically, directly orders us to give thanks to the Lord for what he has done. My note here is, it's not a suggestion. Think about if your boss at work told you to do the same thing exactly 44 times. A, there's a pretty strong expectation that you're going to do it. And B, there's a very much of an unspoken idea of consequences. That if he tells you to do, or she tells you to do something 44 times specifically and directly, and you ignore that, you know, and she knows without her or him ever telling you, that there's consequences that go with it. Think about the same thing to our kids. If you tell your kid the same thing 44 times, right? Most of us, by the second time we tell them, we're a little frustrated. I told you to pick up those shoes, and then we trip on the shoes on the steps. So by the third time, we're really upset, and then there's usually consequences. 44 times. Again, it's not, hey, it would really be a neat idea if you folks gave thanks for everything I'm doing for you. Give thanks to the Lord because of what he has done for you. It doesn't get much more direct than that, right? It's absolutely 100% on point. So let's really think about this for a second. If and when we fully comprehend what God has done for us, it will change us, and therefore it will change the world. I read something and studying this, and they said that if God forgave the way that we typically do, there'd be very little to no forgiveness in the world. Right? So thankfully, God doesn't wait to see how we respond to what he does it first. And someone that early on was in marriage counseling and has studied and gotten degrees and done marriage counseling, one of the biggest principles in marriage is don't wait for the other person to do what you think they're supposed to do for you to do what's right. And that applies, thankfully, to the Lord. He has gone before us. He has shown the way. And he has forgiven us before we've forgiven him. Or before we've forgiven others. Excuse me. And I think the same thing applies. We need to be the ones that are grateful to what God has done so that we can then pass that on to others. And sometimes, if you ever done something and you really believe initially that you did it very unselfishly, and then you didn't get a thank you, and frankly, it kind of ticked you off. Every time I get ticked off because somebody didn't say thank you, I realize that I didn't do it for them, I did it for me. I would have told you before, I think I'm doing it for them. But if you're doing it for them, you don't need anything in response. You just want to know that you've helped them. If you're doing it for you or for the attention, and I love the verses that talk about, you know, if you get public praise for it, that's it. Okay? But if you don't and you don't require that, then you really did it for the right reasons, then God will bless. And it's not that we should do it because we want God to bless us, but we should do it because we really want to be a blessing unto others. And again, it all comes back to us being thankful. It all comes back when we realize what God has done for us. The way this whole passage starts is with the leader, the king, who's looking to see, okay, who owes me what? And he goes to this man, and I'm a big fan of J. Vernon McGee's commentaries. So where the guy says in the passage, you know, let me pay it back. J. Vernon McGee, and you can kind of see a wry old smile on the guy's face. His comment is, well, I think he was on the installment plan. What kind of installment plan does it take for $12 million? Okay? Either that's $1 million a month, or $100,000 that's going to pay it off for a few years, or it's like $20 a month for the next, you know, century and a half. And it's the idea, then it says, then he had pity and he showed mercy. Shouldn't then this servant be jumping up and down? Shouldn't he be going everywhere to show that mercy, to have that pity, to be grateful, to really run and jump? You forgave me $12 million, I think I'd have a hard time stop smiling. And you still have needs, right? If you've been forgiven $12 million, it means you now have nothing, right? Because everything you had, you owed. So you're back to zero. Zero feels pretty good when you've been down negative $12 million. Okay, I've never been forgiven $12 million, but you know, we've all had things where people, my wife's engagement ring ended up being a gift. I was a single youth pastor, and there was a family in the church that was moving, and they said, we'd like you to live in our house, take care of our house, and it was about a half an hour further drive for me. Take care of it. We have a pool. You could use it, but we expect you to take care of it, cut the grass, all that, and we will, you know, pay you this much per month. It sounded like a pretty good idea to me. So I said, absolutely, moved in. And within like 5 days, the guy said, knew I was trying to save for an engagement ring, and said, look, it's only going to take you 3 or 4 months. He said, we're just going to front that for you so you can get the engagement ring and you can go propose to Kim. What a neat gift. He says, and then you just pay us back with that 4 months. Fantastic. 2 days later, the house sold. We're talking 35 years ago, so my days might be off a bit. But I don't think I was in it 2 weeks. And then he turned to me and he said, Penny and I just want you to know we love you, we appreciate you. His kids were in my youth group. He says, we're just going to forgive that. You have the ring. Give it to Kim. We wish you the best on your marriage. So my engagement ring ended up being a gift from a guy in the church. And the irony was, he wasn't even saved. His wife was, and we spent a lot of time talking with her and praying with her for him, and he was a nice guy, and we did things together, and I really enjoyed his company. Don't know if he ever received the Lord. And yet, maybe the most gracious thing anybody ever gave me. So then, what about us? If unbelievers can do those kinds of things, those of us that know what God has done for us, we're on Christmas, but Easter's not far around. We know what Jesus did for us. But yet it's so easy to kind of forget it, right? And take it for granted. You always, in your mind, you have two things going on. You have your prayer requests and your praise reports. Human beings, our nature is to focus much more here than here. And I've talked to believers, and I'm like, let's really rejoice in what God's doing. Yeah, but we need this and this and this and this. Absolutely. And we all have ongoing prayer requests, right? We all have financial needs. We all have family needs. We all have requests for a job and work, and some of our houses need a lot of prayer. On and on and on. You're going to have those things. But it really comes down to, where is our focus? Are we more focused on what we need, or are we more focused on what we've been given? Missions plays a really dear part in my life, in my heart. The coolest thing I ever got to do as a pastor is I got to lead 19 mission trips to six or seven different countries. Got to start a program that sent 55 missions to 19 different countries, and God raised something like $1.4 million over the 12 years of that program. I am not a visionary. They're like, Matt, you've done missions. You want to start? I'm like, yeah, great. I'll take a mission. I'll take the students from this. I was working in a Christian school in a church. I'll take students on a trip. Great. And then the director's like, well, we want you to do three this year. So I did one, organized three. He says, next year, let's do seven. I said, okay, wait a minute. I'm not sure how you go from one to three to seven. Let's look at four or five. And we got to the point where we were doing seven or eight a year out of this Christian school. And of all these trips that I've taken, and I think it's 18, 19, there's a handful of things that really stand out. One of them was on one of the very first ones, sitting in Mexico. And we're in this house with a cement floor. It's a brick house. It's about the size of the pastor's office here, the whole house. And it was divided in two parts. And the back part was the bedroom. They had four kids. So the family threw a mattress on the ground and slept together on one mattress. And the last night, this was, I want to say it was summer of 92. So a ways ago. And I can remember it, and almost, if you took me back there, I could probably show you where I was standing. Because the pastor's wife said, and they translated, but said, I want to thank God for the material blessings he has given us. Material blessings. Other than a roof with a hole and a shirt on your back, what else do you have? And she was so grateful. You ever had somebody else say something that wasn't directed to you or meant for you, and it just hit you like a baseball bat to the forehead? Holy cow. I was a young single youth pastor at the time, and in my mind didn't have a whole lot and wasn't making a whole lot. I could have listed 100 things that I had that this lady did in 30 seconds. And she's sitting there going, thank you, Lord, for material blessings. One of those moments you never forget. So can we really take time? I mean, this is Thanksgiving. And I'm as big a fan of turkey as anybody. But can we really take time? And I encourage you, before Thanksgiving weekend and Thanksgiving week is over, to make a list. If you're a paper person, write it down. If you're a computer person, if you just do it in your brain, really thank God for what he's done for us. Starting with salvation. Seems like every few years, God really strikes me and I focus on hell for a couple days. And it's incredibly painful to even think about. And if I'm sure there's people that I know that are there. I'm sure there's people that I know that will be there. I mean, we've all been injured, we've all been burned, we've all been hurt. And to think that there's absolutely never going to be a moment of relief, it's incomprehensible. And sometimes I think, wouldn't we do a better job at sharing the gospel if we could see into hell? If we could actually see what it was like and what people are going through? But I don't think we as human beings could take it. Because I think it's like nothing we've ever seen. So we start with being grateful there. And then here's a list of things that I think we should really focus on and then put specifics down in our life. So things to be grateful for. Number one, known blessings. Those things in your life that are just obvious. Start with perhaps the person sitting next to you. And your house. And your car. And whatever else you have in your job, in your career. Think about great moments from your past. Those victories in life. Being an athlete, many of my victories that I remember were victories that actually happened on a field somewhere. And moments that I shared with friends, games and championships we won, and trips to national tournaments that we got to take because we had won previously, and plaques I have hanging on a home office, and coaching awards and things. So grateful for those. But they're easy to forget, right? And some of those were 5 or 10 years ago. But some of us are still praying for the same things we were praying for 5 and 10 years ago. And we need to keep praying. And in most cases, it's for people. So we pray for known blessings. And then something in my devotional, David Jeremiah, focused on this week, what's referred to as unknown saves. Unknown save is when God did something that you don't even know he did. And, you know, everybody has a slightly different view on angels, and it's something that's not talked about a lot in the churches. Angels certainly are biblical, okay? So whether we each have our own or whether they are there when we really need them, he cited a story of a missionary years and years ago, got called out late at night to go somewhere, and it didn't really make sense, but he was trying to be faithful to God, and it was in a bad area, and it was late, and it was dark, and he got there, and nobody was there, and it just all didn't really make sense, and he had to walk there, and he walked home through the bad area, and got home safely, and never really thought much about it other than just, Lord, that was odd. 10 years later, he is ministering in a prison. And when he goes to talk to a particular prisoner, the guy's eyes get big. And he says, oh, I know you. And the pastor wasn't really sure who the guy was. And he said, do you remember a time 10 years ago that the pastor says, yeah, never knew what happened. He said, well, I'll tell you what happened. He said, it was me that called you. I lured you out there to attack you and to rob you. He says, but whoever that big guy was walking behind you, I wasn't going to mess with him. Pastor was by himself. How many of you have had not car accidents that you know you should have had a car accident? You ever had that moment? And we're in our house. Somehow stupid turned into stupid. So we say stupid with a D in our house, particularly my one son, and particularly when he's referring to something that dad said, just to kind of poke him a little bit, and we have this great rapport. It's like, Dad, that's stupid. Well, there's times I've been driving, and I'm like, oh, that was stupid. I looked away, I looked up, I looked at my phone, I looked at whatever. I was going too fast and tried to pass somebody where I shouldn't have passed them. The road was wet, and my brain was dry. That was stupid. And yet, didn't get a scratch. Wasn't my great driving. It was just the opposite. So can we take time over this weekend to thank God for things that we don't even know that God did, but we know God's done them? For answered prayers. again, not thank you, Lord, and on to the next request. For people, those people that are in our life every day that we know and we love, but for people that God has brought into our life, sometimes for a moment, for the right moment and the right occasion. I couldn't tell you where that gentleman is that gave us that ring, but I'll never forget him. For opportunities you've been given in fields that you enjoy, opportunities you've been given in the workforce, opportunities you've been given for ministry, opportunities you've been given in life in general. I love the movie Bucket List, and I'm not really a bucket list guy. I don't have a bucket list, but I kind of do what I call a reverse bucket list. I look back at opportunities God gave me, sometimes that I didn't even realize that I wanted, or some things just thought weren't possible, so couldn't put them on a list. I couldn't make them happen. But then when they do happen, you go, wow. Again, let's not do wow in the moment and then leave it there. And kind of tying into our unknown saves, let's really be thankful for forgiven mistakes. Things that we've done that God has forgiven us. Things that we've done that other people have forgiven us. Some people, one mistake defines their lifetime. I'm really grateful that's not me, because I've made some biggies. And I made some almost really close ones. So as we head out this morning, and as we wrap up, let's determine to be people far more focused on our gifts given than our wants needed. Than our gifts already given, than our wants still needed. Bible tells us to pray every day. But sometimes we only define prayer as sending God requests. Prayer, in the purer sense, starts with praise. And praise is different than being thankful. Praise is just honoring God for who he is and all his traits. Thankful is the specific things he's done for you and for those that you love. Then we should get down the road. You know, I always taught teenagers, I said, God's not your microwave. You don't just throw in what you need, press a button. And of course, teenagers always want everything in 27 seconds or less. And those of us that are much more mature, we expect them in a minute or less. Okay. You know, we expect our prayers to be answered now, and we think that we could just tell God, it doesn't work like that. So as we close, they will know us by our thankfulness. Let's make that our vow. You can tell somebody that's thankful, right? You know a person that's grateful and thankful, and you know somebody that's angry and bitter. Doesn't take long. I mean, sometimes you see it on their face before they ever speak. Somebody that's forgiven and thankful, that's going to permeate every ounce of who they are. So let people see that in us. It doesn't mean you don't have requests. It's not one or the other. We've got the both list. But let's focus more on the first one and frankly ask God for the second and leave it up to him. I'm going to ask David to come up, and if there's any of the other deacons, and I believe Willis is going to come back. And if anybody is looking for a time of prayer, and again, we're in a house of the Lord with many believers, but that doesn't mean that everybody here has accepted Christ. And I've heard these great altar calls and things over the years, and I don't have that kind of creativity. The one thing that just always simply hits me is just the fact that heaven and hell are real. Because if every human being truly grasped that, and they grasped what it took to get to one and avoid the other, they would do it in a heartbeat. I've always said that people really believe